Nerd Rage Renegades.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Nerd Rage Renegades are back again. We're back two episodes. This is episode two of the new reboot.
We made it.
This is the reboot.
We didn't just give up again.
No, it's the reboot. I'm not really me. I'm played by somebody new. I'm somebody new and I'm diverse.
And equal.
And equal. We're the Velma of podcasts. Nobody likes us, but we're going to be here, damn it.
Hey.
No, people like us. I'm playing.
Like us or you're canceled.
I know, right? We're on HBO Max, and it's the lowest show ever. Like, everybody hates that freaking show.
I literally know nothing about it. I saw a picture of it, like, on Twitter, and I didn't know it was coming out. I didn't know it was out now, and now everybody's yelling about it, and I don't care. I'm not going to watch it anyway.
I'm not watching it. I don't give a flying.
Well,
you know what
I
have been watching?
Cartoons a lot of times either. I watch like Justice League cartoons. I don't watch little baby cartoons.
You know what I have been watching? So I've been watching season 3 of Picard.
Yeah, everybody keeps telling me to watch that. I haven't seen it. I might watch this, get caught up on it, because everybody's saying, "Oh, you got to watch Picard."
So season 1 is like, it was good, but it was just Picard and this ragtag group, right? It was almost like Picard became like Han Solo. You know, he had this, like, ragtag group. Now, season 2 is all about Q.
Mm.
And it's good. And it
has... that was always my favorite character on the new Trek. You know, well, I mean, they had guys like... was a guy like Trelane back in the old Star Trek. They had, like, godlike guys back then. But I like... Q was a little bit different. Like, he had taken this liking to Picard, and he was just following the Enterprise around and, like, trying to do nice stuff for Picard, but screwing it up.
Yeah, and... So season 2 is about you know, it's about Picard and Q, mostly, right? Like, that's the over arc. And in season 2, you do get a cameo from a certain Will Wheaton.
Oh. Shut up, Wesley.
Shut up, Wesley. Now, season 3. Now, season 3 is bringing back all the main cast from Next Generation in different parts. So,
even Tasha Yar?
No Tasha and no Will Wheaton, since we already had Will Wheaton.
Oh, yeah.
But so far, we have seen in season 3, you do see Beverly.
Yeah.
You do see Riker, which Riker has been in, like, all 3 seasons. Riker's been in.
7 of 9, I heard, is in it. Yow.
She's in all 3 seasons. Deanna Troi's in all 3, you know, cameos. You do see Worf in season 3. Now, of course,
I saw a picture of old Worf just on recently.
Yeah, like, I saw it was Worf. So it was funny. I saw a Starbucks cup, and it was like, you know how they write your name on a Starbucks cup?
Yeah.
This cup was like, "I am Worf, son of this, son of this,
son
of this,
Moog.
Son of Moog, Slayer of Gowron." I'm like, I'm so doing that. But this season, it's pretty good, you know, and what's really cool is you start seeing some tensions between Riker and Picard, and, like, their different styles of being, like, captains, because Picard's
Riker's more like Kirk.
Yeah, well, Picard's an admiral in this, you know, he's a retired admiral in this series, which makes no sense to me, because didn't Kirk tell him, don't ever get promoted? Didn't Kirk specifically tell him, do not let them take you off the bridge of your ship, do not let them promote you? Stay on your ship.
Shatner's on the outs with the whole Trek company at the moment, I believe, because they just put out there Paramount, what are they, the big Trek poster with all the shows on it. They left the original series off.
So, like I said, I've been watching that, but I've also been watching Strange New Worlds. Now, Strange New Worlds is about Pike.
Was it alternate universe or something?
No, it's main universe. It's when Pike had the Enterprise before Kirk took over.
Oh.
So basically what they said was, you know, so we all know the episode The Cage. That was the pilot episode for Star Trek, and it was Pike was captain in The Cage.
And then he got put in a weird chair.
Then he got put in the wheelchair because the actor who originally played Pike didn't want to come back for that episode, so they put him in the chair with all the prosthetics so it didn't look like him.
Yeah.
But you also had Margell,
Majel.
Majel. So she in the cage.
Roddenberry's wife.
Roddenberry's wife. In the cage, you know, she was her name was number one. She was the first officer to Pike.
Yeah.
And you know, Spock was there too. And it's really
he
weird.
He was a science officer back then.
Yeah, he was just a science officer. It's real weird to see the very young Leonard Nimoy.
Yeah,
Spock.
He looked weird. He had like weird. He had a weird uniform too. Yeah, it wasn't the same. Weird.
So Strange New Worlds is Pike. It is number one. So they basically said since the cage was a pilot for Star Trek, that was going to be Pike and all that before they changed it all. Strange New Worlds is the longest pilot to series in history.
Yeah.
Because it took all that time. And at first I had a little bit of an issue with it because one of the crew members is a descendant of Khan Noonien Singh.
Which is possible because he was kind of immortal. He had he was given like a almost like a Deadpool in a way. He was according to the comic series I read about Khan, the Khan comic series that they put out. I think Dynamite put it out, but it said that they gave him. He was actually originally a crippled Indian kid in the streets of Calcutta, like begged, and they took him for this science experiment, and they genetically modified him to where he was able to actually change his outward appearance to appear as other people. So he's been different people. He's almost a little bit like Kang. He's been different people through different times.
So what's good about it, though, is when I started watching it more and more, it does make sense because you think about it, Khan only took, 72 people with him up on the Botany Bay. He didn't take...
Yeah, something like that.
He didn't take everybody.
No, he had his core tribe.
Yeah, he had his core tribe. So it made sense that, yeah, there would be descendants of him still
on Earth. I
think
they were all genetically modified people that that they used.
And the way they've done it is the character La'an Noonien Singh, she knows she's descended from Khan. But it's not a big issue because one, they haven't found the Botany Bay yet. It's still going to be years before they find the Botany Bay.
Well, and Pike won't even be around when they do that.
Yeah. And the question that people asked was, well, if, because Spock's in this too, you know, Spock is in this. And they said, why wouldn't Spock have told Kirk when they found the Botany Bay and Khan Noonien Singh about this crew member? And they said, well, she had nothing to do with him. So why would Spock even think that would be relevant and logical?
Well, and they also knew who Khan was. It was in their computer system who he was. They knew, they were able to look him up real quick.
Right. The eugenics war is public knowledge.
Yeah.
But what I like about it is... It is
they just didn't know that they had found him specifically. Yeah. They found that ship. They didn't, and then they recognized the ship and knew who it was. It wasn't like they didn't know at all who he was.
Now, what's also cool on here is there is a Kirk on this Enterprise in Strange New Worlds. It's Kirk's brother. Because remember, Kirk has a brother who is also Starfleet. So it's his brother that's on the ship. And his brother's good friends with Pike. So, of course, Pike would also know about James Tiberius Kirk. So they really closed everything in. There's no, like, loopholes
at some point in that series, because Pike wasn't captain for very long, at some point in that series they're going to have to end it with Pike leaving the Enterprise to go to that alien planet or whatever. And Kirk's brother's either going to die or get transferred because he definitely wasn't on the Enterprise when Kirk took over.
Like the only two that are going to
be bad, it's going to be like Empire.
Well, the only two that are on the Enterprise right now is you have Spock, and you have Uhura, but Uhura is just a cadet.
Sulu wasn't in the pilot.
No, Sulu wasn't in the pilot, and of course Chekov's not going to be there.
I haven't seen it in probably 10 years. I can't remember.
Scotty's not there. However, their science officer is one of those the albino aliens with the antennas.
Yeah.
He's also.
Andorians, is that there?
Yeah, but he's also blind, and the actor's like blind too. Nurse Chapel is in this. In Strange New Worlds. She's fucking funny as hell. They gave her more of a character because I mean she didn't really have like a full like character so to speak.
No, I will say that they did give women a lot more beefier roles on that show for the time. seemed like they were more important roles. Uhura for one, and
So,
Chapel was well known. Everybody knows Nurse Chapel was the
yeah.
nurse on the Enterprise.
And her, she's got white hair. Her design looks good. The actress is amazing who plays her. So I had issues with like Discovery, and I had issues with Enterprise, the old, But these two shows, Picard and Strange New Worlds, I'm really, really, really enjoying. I think
But do you think,
you'll
like with
enjoy them.
Star Wars, they're just throwing too much at people? Like, I'm so out of it. Like, I'm so there's so much coming out from. It's like I just want to go back and watch Kirk. I just
Right.
want to go watch William
So
Shatner beat up an alien.
here's the way I think about it. Considering that Picard, Strange New Worlds is before the original series, and Picard is way
Way after,
after.
yeah.
They're in the timeline, the prime timeline, not the Kelvin timeline where
Yeah,
Spock, with Chris Pine and all that.
the Kirk's William Shatner universe,
Yeah, we're in the Shatner universe, and
the Shatverse.
so those I like. Now these other shows like Lower Decks, and they have like a kids show called Prodigy.
Oh yeah.
Those ones I'm not watching because,
One's a comedy. One's kind of like one of the Star Wars cartoons almost. Like it's
right.
adventure, but young adventure.
Yeah. And plus with Lower Decks, I kind of have an issue with it because those characters don't seem like they follow Starfleet. Like even characters that were kind of out there still followed like Starfleet mandates. These seem like the Seth MacFarlane characters put in Star Trek.
Yeah,
And I say that even though
which
the
he already
or
did
yeah, and
that.
the Orville actually became a damn good freaking sci-fi show. It started out
Well,
as just like a
the Tim
parody.
Allen movie, that Galaxy Quest,
I
is a
loved
pretty
Galaxy
good.
Quest.
That's a good
That's a
sci-fi
good
movie. It's a
one.
comedy, but it's a good sci-fi movie.
Yeah, but I think you'd like both Picard and Strange New Worlds, because like I said, it falls in the timeline. They're really good. The effects are great. I mean, I can put it out there. The effects are great, and the new guy playing Spock, his name is Ethan Peck. He's like the great grandson of Gregory Peck.
Yeah, this is the third Spock.
This is the third Spock, and he plays Spock perfect. Like, so this is Spock at his earliest. He's kind of like, it's almost like a Data thing where he's battling whether he want, his Vulcan and his human side, right? As we always saw. But he hasn't had like Bones and Scotty and all them there to kind of help him kind of,
Yeah.
delve
So he's
into that
weird.
humanity. He's weird, he's rigid, he's staunch. And it's like he tries to like give Uhura a pep talk, and it's like more like he's just blunt. Like, if you don't do this, we will die. You
Yeah.
know, and
Well,
she's like,
that, yeah. Well, you look back, even especially the early episodes with Leonard. Leonard Nimoy is a weird looking cat. I mean,
Oh,
there
very
was
much so.
nobody looked like him, and that's the reason they cast him as Spock. It's hard to cast Spock. You got to find a dude that just looks weird,
Yeah.
and he's got to be able to act.
So good shows. I'm enjoying them. And it's good because I had to find something else to watch because Lord knows you can binge everything. I do. The Mandalorian came out. I have to watch that. But what I'm now looking forward to, because we got news this week. Oh, we got news. Something we've been
I just
craving.
got it this morning from you.
Something we have been craving forever. So we know, we had the Netflix Marvel series. And honestly, they all had their merits. Of course, Daredevil was probably the strongest. And then I would say, Punisher would be the next strongest out of
Yeah,
them
Daredevil
all.
season two with the Punisher was my favorite of all of it, I think.
Yes. So, but when, you know, and so those were Marvel and Netflix. So when Disney bought Marvel, when Mickey said, "Hello, motherfucker, we own everything now." There was this question, they're going to move everything over to Disney Plus. What does this mean for the Netflix series? What does this mean for, because we know these are in the MCU. They tied it in. The blip happened. Every Marvel series on Netflix tied into the MCU.
Yeah.
And now we know they're tied in because Daredevil has appeared in Spider-Man No Way Home. He's been in She-Hulk. And this week we got the news that Jon Bernthal will be in Daredevil, the new Daredevil series, as Frank Castle.
And they're doing Born Again, which is Frank Miller story, yeah, so it's going to be nuts.
It's going to be dark. So we have been wanting more Bernthal, because Bernthal was Frank. He embodied Frank Castle to the point that he went to a comic book store and he said, "Hey, I'm going to play this character. What do I need to read?" And the comic book store owner said, "You're reading this, 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 and this." Just gave him War Journal and all that stuff to read and said, This is what you're going to read." And he brought that character to life, and it was awesome. And Mr. Business is meowing up a storm.
My Punisher War Journal number one got ruined by my sister because she did the Chips Ahoy maze on the back of it in a black pen.
Oh.
I could have murdered her.
But when we first heard that Punisher was coming out, of course, us both being big Punisher fans, we were like, okay, how are they going to do this in Daredevil? Is it going to be good? Then we find out it's going to be Shane from The Walking Dead.
Yeah, he's got Frank's face from the comics. He just looks like Frank Castle.
He looks beaten up. He looks like his nose has been broken like 20 fucking times.
Well, you got to have that look. The Frank Castle in the comics has got that flat nose, that just gruff face. He's not a pretty man.
So we got him in Daredevil Season 2, and I think we both agree the two scenes that were the most three scenes that were badass is, one, him and Daredevil on the roof beating, you know, fighting.
That the speech that the Punisher gives Daredevil is one of the best things ever, when he's like, "You put these people in jail and they get out and they do it again. I put them in the ground, they never do it again."
The courtroom scene where Frank gets himself put in prison.
Yes.
Which was all part of his master plan.
Yeah, it's fucking great. The whole series is fucking great.
And then him beating the living shit out of all of Wilson Fisk's men in prison in that long shot.
Very reminiscent of the, five-issue miniseries back in the 80s where Frank went to prison.
Yes.
Frank goes to prison arc. Oh, I love that one too.
So we get that. And then we go into Season 3 of Daredevil, which was more about him and Elektra and all that. So then Marvel says, "We're going to give you another gift. We're going to give you a Punisher series." Yep. And it's going to have Micro, and it's going to have Jigsaw, you know, who eventually becomes Jigsaw. And that was an amazing series.
Yeah, one of my favorite things, I can't remember if it was in Daredevil or in The Punisher, is when he goes to the pawn shop and he buys the police radio from the crook guy at the pawn shop.
That's in Daredevil.
And the guy offers him the kid porn,
mm-hmm.
and he just walks over and locks the door and walks back, and he just hears screaming. That's the best.
And what I loved about it is they showed, you know, yes, he kills. Because he kills.
Without mercy.
But
one
that,
shot, one kill. He doesn't make any stray bullets either.
No stray bullets, but he has a sense of honor as well. You know, he's not out there killing, you know, Joe Schmo on the street. He's killing the mobsters and the criminals and the pedophiles and things like that. He's taking the trash out.
The interrogation scene too, when the mobs got him and the guy's beating him up, and he's like, he tells him, "I'm going to kill everybody in this room," and they're like just laughing at him, and then he gets out, and then the guy's halfway through a sentence and he just shoots him in the face.
So now we know that he will be in Daredevil Born Again, and this is just like, I'm just excited for it, because we don't know much about Daredevil Born Again.
There is a worry that he's going to be some underutilized 5-minute cameo. I want full dressed up flak jacket Frank in his skull and all that shit through the whole season.
Yeah, I want him fully in there. So we don't know. Like I said, we don't know much about Born Again. We know that Vincent D'Onofrio is going to be back in it as Wilson Fisk, which.
Well, we know the Frank Miller story. We don't know what they're going to do with it.
Right. You know, it's going to be 18 episodes. It's going to be part of Phase 5 of the MCU. So, and like I said, all we know, the main people that we know are Daredevil, Kingpin, Frank Castle.
That's all I need.
I mean, that is all I need.
I don't need anybody else.
So... But I read today that Deborah Ann Woll, who played Deborah Ann Woll, who was Karen Page in the first Daredevil, and Eldon Henson, who was Foggy, will not be back for Born Again.
I mean, that's all right. I mean, there's been times throughout Daredevil comics where those characters weren't in the stories and stuff. It doesn't mean they don't exist in the universe. They're just not in the series.
But now there's nothing word on if the characters are just not going to be there or if like they're going to be recasted. We know the actors are not coming back. We don't know
Karen
about
Karen Page get killed at some point in the comics. When did
I think she did? I think she did. And of course, Deborah Ann Woll, she just hit it big. She was she got to play freaking Kratos' wife in the latest God of War game. Mm. You know,
wife boy.
Which I want to play that game. I do want to. I haven't played that one. I want to play it. Hopefully soon. Money soon. Mm. So she can do stuff. But, I mean, there's been so much. I mean, we touched on it last week with people bitching and moaning and complaining about the Marvel Universe right now. And I can understand, you know, when we were getting one or two movies a year, it might have been a little better than us getting, like, four or five movies plus, like, two or three television series. Do you feel like it's getting bogged down? Like, we're getting too much.
Everybody's saying that we're getting the superhero fatigue. I think it's not so much superhero. It's fatigue with half-assed movies. Nobody complained when Avengers Endgame came out because it's good. Nobody complained when Infinity War came out because it's good. Nobody complained when Homecoming, Spider-Man came out because it's great. Mm-hmm. They're complaining when we're getting shit like what is that movie they put out? The Eternals. The Eternals was boring. It was just them fighting CGI monsters, and it was kind of lame. It wasn't nothing to it. It didn't really forward the lore at all. I didn't care for it. I watched
that. And where
that
falls in the timeline, it's like that's like after. Like this is the thing with the movies as well, is they've kind of if you go on Disney Plus, they have all the movies in like timeline order, not when they were released in theaters, but like in the universe. This happened here. This happened here. This happened here. Right.
Well, Thor is confusing because Thor's all over the place in that.
Well, what's funny is
that
like, you look
shit happen.
So if you look at the chronological order they have it in, it's like Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 1, right? Then immediately in their timeline, the next thing that happened was Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. So there was no like something happened in between. It was like we had Volume 1 and we went straight into Volume 2 in the timeline. And of course we know, Captain America, the first Avenger is movie number one. And sadly, because it's Disney Plus, we don't have any Incredible Hulk movie, which was really the first movie in the MCU.
Well, we had Ed Norton, but they didn't add the Ed Norton in the timeline.
No, it's not in the timeline.
Oh, you got to be kidding.
Actually,
Got Emma Blonsky, the same abominations in the She-Hulk series, so it's got to be in the timeline somewhere.
Yeah, let me pull this up here. Let me just pull this up, and I can take a look. I want to go through
I also think they fell down on TV. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I thought got really boring. The Inhumans I thought made the Inhumans look really bad. The Inhumans, they made them to be these elitist slave owners and stuff. And it's like, that's not the way I pictured Black Bolt and the royal family of the Inhumans. I thought they cared for their people and they had a progressive great society in Attilan. And the way they made it look like was they've got these 10 elitists at the top and everybody else is a slave living in a ghetto somewhere.
Yeah.
And I thought, that's just what a horrible image to give the Inhumans.
All right. So this is, according to Disney Plus and Marvel Studios, this is the Marvel Cinematic Universe in timeline order. So we have Captain America, the first Avenger. Makes sense.
Yeah. All three of the Captain America movies are top tier, if you ask me.
Next, you have the one shot of Agent Carter. Then Captain Marvel is the third thing in the timeline.
I guess because it goes back to Carol Danvers' early life and it flashes back way back and meeting Nick Fury. And you can tell it's pre-Avengers because Nick Fury hasn't formed the Avengers yet.
Yeah, and he still has both his eyes for most of the movie.
Yeah.
Iron Man is next. Then Iron Man 2. Then a funny thing happened on the way to Thor's hammer, the one shot with Coulson. Then you have Thor. Then you have the consultant one shot. Then you have the Avengers. So the Avengers is right after that. Then Thor the Dark World. Iron Man 3. Captain America Winter Soldier. I'm going to exclude like the one-shots because they're just like small little things. Guardians of the Galaxy. Then Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. And of course, all those little Groot, like 5-minute things are in here.
Yeah.
See,
I can't. That's another thing. One of the reasons people are fatigued is because there's too much in the continuity timeline. You can't watch all this shit. Yeah. Who's got time to watch all this?
Age of Ultron is next. Then Ant-Man, Civil War, Black Widow, Black Panther, Doctor Strange, which plot hole, considering in frickin', I think it was in, no, it was in Winter Soldier. They had mentioned Doctor Strange and that he was on their radar.
Stephen Strange, something.
But apparently something not, because, you know, he hadn't gotten his powers yet. Thor Ragnarok is next. Then Ant-Man and the Wasp. Then Infinity War, Endgame. Loki. WandaVision. Falcon and Winter Soldier. Shang-Chi. Which I enjoyed Shang-Chi. Now here's where it gets weird. Then we have the Eternals is next in the timeline order. So after Eternals, we get Multiverse of Madness, Hawkeye, Moon Knight, Wakanda Forever, She-Hulk, Ms. Marvel, Thor Love and Thunder, Werewolf by Night, and the Guardians of the Galaxy Holiday Special. And not a single one of them talks about a giant celestial, you know, basically just on the, you know, being born and stopped in the planet. Nobody has talked about a giant celestial body just there in the freaking in the ocean. And I agree. That is a plot hole. You have all these movies after, but nobody mentions this giant freaking celestial body.
I mean, you can forgive a little bit. I mean, you got to think this has been how long, many years since 2008 or 9 or something?
Yeah, it's been a long time.
It's been a long time they're trying to keep this together. But at some point, the wheels are going to fall off if they don't like slow down and put out quality shit. Now, you can't just keep cranking this shit out and doing a half-ass job on it.
Now, I will caveat on this. The Spider-Man movies are not in this because, remember, there's still that co-owned Sony Marvel Studios thing, right?
Yeah.
So the those are not in it. Those are not in this official timeline.
I liked all the Spider-Man movies. Okay. The last one was my least favorite, I think, even though it had Tobey Maguire and Garfield in it. I thought it was my least favorite because I thought it was just too much fan service, too much, let's force these Spider-Men to interact and be friends and stuff. And it's like, I don't know.
See, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it because it did, you know, because if we're talking multiverse,
we had the Sinister Six and all that, but it was, I mean, there's a thing with Marvel. It's like there's moments throughout all these movies that are cool. And you might overall hate the movie, but there's a few scenes in each one that are good, even if you don't like it.
That and give, I mean, anytime I can get Willem Dafoe as the Green Goblin,
yeah,
he's just like, and Alfred Molina as Doc Ock. I enjoyed that. I really enjoyed Doc Ock being back in it because I liked Alfred Molina as Doc Ock. I thought he always did a good job as Doc Ock. The sad part is he didn't die of cancer in this movie and get a spider bot to switch him and Tom Holland's brain.
Well, yeah,
so we get the
that
Superior.
That was speculation before it came out. We thought, hey, maybe Superior Spider-Man's coming.
And you never know. I mean, we're getting another Spider-Verse movie. You never know. Maybe we will see an auto Spider-Man in that.
If they're doing another one, I don't know why. The Spider-Verse story was really cool when it came. Like it took place, I think Otto Spidey was gone. He went into the future for 15 minutes.
Yeah.
At one point in the regular Spider-Man, Superior Spider-Man, he disappeared out of existence for 15 minutes and nobody knew where he went. Well, you find out in the Spider-Verse that there was a really long period of time he was traveling universes and gathering all the Spider-Men to fight the hunters, the spider hunters. And that's where you meet all the different Spider-Men. You meet the giant robot, Japanese Spider-Man, you meet Spider-Man Noir. That's where all those characters, people don't realize that they brought back all those characters for that comic book, and then they just did some different story with it when they made the movie. But hopefully they'll get to the hunters and the spider totem people and the
And then they do that, and then, like, the comics, you have, like, seven other different Spider-Verse things that happened after that. You know, it's like, you can't leave it alone, you know?
Yeah.
Can't. I mean, we had Civil War One, which was good. Then you gave
yeah.
us Civil War Two, which was not good.
No.
It made
they
no
totally
sense.
Changed. Yeah, Tony Stark's whole character changed for absolutely no reason.
It was like him and Carol Danvers switched sides. It was
yeah,
not
I was like,
good.
She... All of a sudden, Tony Stark's for individual freedom.
Yeah.
When did
I mean,
that
Tony
happen?
Stark, you know, although we did get Secret Wars 2, which was good. There was so many good books in Civil... And what I liked about Secret Wars 2 is they brought back characters like Chris Starr, the Crystal Warrior,
yeah, well, yeah.
And
well,
things
it was actually
like
just
that.
Hickman's Secret Wars. It wasn't even a Secret Wars. It was just Secret Wars. It was
yeah.
a new retelling of it. And it was actually the same story, but just so much more fleshed out and crazy. And they were like every title was running in Secret Wars.
God Emperor Doom.
And
it gave
that
me
that series, man. That Hickman and that I loved. One of my favorite things is like that's right after that. It seemed like comics started going downhill and sucking. And it's like Hickman just killed the Marvel Universe and was like, okay, good luck rebuilding that shit. I'm out the door.
Yeah.
And he just walked.
And what I liked was it also gave us, you know, it gave me Howard the Human, and he had that big bushy mustache. And
Deadpool the Duck. We had all
we had
kinds
Deadpool
of weird.
Deadpool the Duck. We got Chris Starr. I mean, they brought back Adelon.
Oh, Mike
all
Del Mundo. That Weird World series by Del Mundo. It was crazy good.
And it was so. And I loved that. There was some others that I didn't really care much for like the Marvel Zombies world or. I mean, it was good, but like the Weird World stuff. You know, the stuff with God Emperor Doom. Those little one-shots that you would get.
The Doom in the all-white costume was so cool.
And that was at a time where I liked when we were getting, like, one-shots of, like, Night Nurse and things like that. Those older characters, you know, and bringing
Hickman
it back.
Hickman dug deep for that, man. He was going. He brought back the Knights of Galador and, like, all kinds of shit for that.
Oh, yeah. We couldn't
Rom.
Have...
They didn't have Rom because they didn't own Rom, but they owned the Knights of Galador and they showed up in it.
And, like I said, Chris Starr and all those other things... Just simply amazing. So there's so much that can be done. The problem, I think, like the Eternals was a weird one to do because they're not known. They're not as known as others.
There was
others.
Definitely a better way to introduce them than what they did. And
yeah.
Really, when you're reading the comics, I wasn't a big Eternals. I have the Eternals series, but I wasn't a huge Eternals fan because they're kind of a part. They deal with stuff that happened like pre-Marvel universe stuff back with the Celestials and the Deviants and the Inhumans and all that stuff, and really it's an important part of Marvel history really because it's where everything trickled down from. When the Eternals came here, they brought I think they were the ones that brought the Terrigen and the Experiment, which trickled down to the Inhumans, which made the Inhumans, and then through natural Terrigen spreading out through the world where the mutants started coming from, and the mutants are kind of the descendants of the Inhumans. The Inhumans are kind of the descendants of the Eternals, and the Eternals are descendants, obviously, of like the Celestials and all that shit going on in Cosmos. So, I mean, it was important. There was a better way to do it, and they just kind of made it boring.
Is it wrong to say that I think that the Eternals was just one long way of introducing Black Knight?
Almost, because there's literally no story to that movie. The only good part is Blade and the Black Knight in the very end.
Yeah, and you don't even see Blade.
You just hear his voice.
You just hear his voice, which that's the movie I'm waiting for. You gave me Werewolf by Night. You gave me Man-Thing. You've given me a taste of what I want. Now I want Blade, and I want Stan. Stan Dracula.
Stan.
I want giant lapels on him. I want him with a big freaking like pendant on his chest.
Mustache.
Give me the porn stash with them, and then I want the living mummy. You know, I want all those
Frankenstein's
characters.
Monster. You
Frankenstein's
got so
monster.
Many.
You know, Warwolf. Give me Warwolf.
I loved how they did Man-Thing in the Werewolf by Night.
They did him really well.
That was good.
And
I like that they called him Ted. It's really Ted Salas. We know this is the Man-Thing we know and love.
This is the Man-Thing. You know, we'll probably, you know, if they keep it up, we'll realize he actually, you know, he's the keeper of the Nexus of all realities.
And we've got Howard the Duck already. It's only a matter of time before we get something to do with Man-Thing and the Nexus and Howard.
Exactly.
It's got to happen.
All right. So here's my theory, though. So I went back and I watched Endgame, right?
I've done that recently, too, so I should be able to comment on this.
Now, I do want to comment. Even to this day, when Cap is standing there, broken shield, everyone is down. and you just hear on your left, and all the portals open, and all the heroes come out, I still get teary-eyed. Because it's like, that was, like, for, as a kid, that's what you that's what I wanted my entire life, was all those heroes, one place, not animated, live action on the screen, not fighting lumberjacks.
So with Tony Stark's wish that he made with the gauntlet, the Valkyrie all came back. So did he restore Asgard to some degree when he did that?
I mean, not the actual realm, because they still live in New Asgard.
Yeah.
In Love and Thunder.
But all, like, the Warriors 3 and all those people should have come back after.
I don't know, because we know. Well, I don't know, because.
Well, they were killed by Thanos.
They were killed by Hell. They were killed by Hell. The Warriors 3 were killed by Hell. Now, Heimdall was killed by. He was killed by Corvus Glaive.
And also, when they die, Asgardians are supposed to. If they die off world, their bodies automatically, like, evaporate, and they're reborn again in Asgard. So how does that work now?
I don't know.
There's no Asgard. How are they reborn? Thor was reborn in the first movie.
Yeah.
He was killed, went to Asgard, came right back.
Yeah. But, so I was rewatching it. And, of course, like I said, teary-eyed for that scene. That entire fight scene is great. I love that everybody kind of got, all the heroes got, like, a moment to shine, you know. The only thing I always did have an issue with was Peter Parker half the time didn't have his mask on, and he's telling everybody, I'm Peter Parker. Like, you know, now he kind of knows, like, don't do that. I think they kind of got up to that part with No Way Home, where, you know, with Aunt May
Tom
dying
Holland
and all that.
Is so far the best Spider-Man they've had, though. I thought it was great that they – I'm kind of sick of the high school Spider-Man. I kind of want, you know, happening journalist, college student.
I think
Peter
that's
Parker.
The next one. I think that's going to be the next one.
But Tom Holland was great. I love the first Spider-Man movie when he's still friendly neighborhood Spider-Man and he's just, like, sitting on a balcony eating his lunch out of a bag. And, like, I mean, that's Spider-Man. That's the character Spider-Man.
Right.
He fights big cosmic villains. He fights all kinds of big stuff. But a lot of times he's catching burglars and, like, just hanging out on a building with Daredevil or something.
But my entire reason to bring this up is I know how the heroes were able to defeat Thanos. And it wasn't just because Tony Stark got the Infinity Gems and all that. It's because Howard the Duck fought in that battle. And he did, because
point.
You see him for like a split second when Wasp flies in. When they're all coming through the portal and Wasp flies in. Look behind her. There's Howard with a big fucking gun.
Yeah,
Howard fought in the Battle
food.
Of Earth. That is the thing, and that is why I want a show. This is why I wish they would do something with him. I wish Kevin. I don't know if Kevin Smith would have, like, tied into that. If I was doing a Howard show, whether it's Disney Plus or whatever, I would have him in Cleveland. But I would have him be like, "Look, I fought in the Battle of Earth, but nobody gives a shit."
Yeah.
Nobody cares that this talking duck fought in the Battle of Earth to save Earth from Thanos.
It would be funny if they showed a clip where, in Howard's mind, the only reason they did win was because of him. And
exactly.
They just show a scene where he comes through the portal and Thanos looks at him and goes, fucking talking duck. And that's what distracts him long enough for...
yeah, for Tony to get there. That's what I want. And that's, like, the craziness that I want. And I think that's where they're getting a little farther away from some of these characters that would just be so fucking hilarious. So, like, what made Moon Knight good was not only that he beat the living shit out of people, but you had the personalities fighting each other. You had the comedy, you know, like when Ethan Hawke talks to him about Avatar, you know, and he's like, oh yeah, I saw that movie, Blue Men, very good, you know, or he mentions the anime as well, you know, he's talking about Avatar: The Last Airbender, you know, and then, you know, at the end we get Lockley, who just shoots him square, you know, that's good, but then you get, like, I'm sorry, I Miss Marvel it's a hard to get through, because they changed.
I didn't like the comic.
You know, it's hard to get through. She-Hulk was hard to get through. Now, like I said last week, if it was She-Hulk down on her luck with the Asian secretary and the monkey, and she's, like, fighting for superheroes, and, you know, she's trying to get Hellcat off from, you know, out of her marriage.
Howard's
or whatever.
Next door.
Howard's next door. Give me that. But a lot of this, like I said, I love the weird and the cosmic. The main, I love Frank because he's not, you know, the goody two-shoe hero, you know.
Oh no, yeah,
he
that was
stole
my
an Iron
teenage
Man
angsty
suit.
years. I read a lot of Frank, and it was he's just that's the most violent comic of all time.
He stole an Iron Man suit to just cause mischief and mayhem. And
well, one of my
people.
Favorite things with Frank ever, and it does—it's not even in a Frank comic. It's in what's the one with the watch? I can't always forget the one with the Watcher eye, where
Original Sin.
Yeah, when they did the team ups and they teamed up Stephen Strange with Frank, and they said we want Doctor Strange to go with Frank Castle to do this whatever thing they had to do, and so Doctor Strange like teleports in to a warehouse, and Frank Castle's got a guy chained upside down from a ceiling, and he's telling the guy, "I just injected you with a toxin, and you'll tell me what I want to know, or I will let you hang here and suffer the horrible effects of that toxin. Over the next 2 or 3 days, you'll just die in slow agony. But if you tell me what I want to know, I'll shoot you in the head right now." And all of a sudden, Dr. Strange goes, "Mr. Castle, you can't do this."
Those characters, like we've always said, one of our favorite lines is that one with Doc Ock, Spider-Man, where he's talking and then he's like, "Oh, I'm sorry, are you still there?" You know, when he's talking about killing Kingpin.
I really hope Wilson Fisk isn't listening to this channel. Or he goes, "Oops, I've accidentally broadcast that out everywhere. I hope Wilson Fisk didn't hear that." And he's like, "Wah," like laughing.
Like those
and,
are the fun
things. Even Hobgoblin's scared of him. He's like, "Oh, that's the creepiest laugh I ever heard in my life."
That's the stuff I love. That's why I'm waiting for Blade, because I think Blade will be that fun, you know, and especially being an updated Blade. It's probably going to have Dane Whitman somewhere in it. You know, it's going to have the Black Knight with the Ebony Blade, you know, which has a big history.
Yeah, I wonder what they're going to do with him, though. I mean, like, are they going to do his history, like the Morgan the Fay stuff and Mordred and all that?
I would hope so. Then give us Captain Britain. You know what?
Medieval Marvel movie might be something different. Might be cool.
You know what? You've Marvel, and I understand you've changed characters, you've swapped characters. You know, there's hits, there's misses. Okay, but the one thing you have failed to do is represent the people of Great Britain. Captain Britain.
I heard Captain Britain was being talked about coming into something.
And I want Megan in that too. I want a very hot freaking elvish fairy woman in that where she does not wear any
Marina.
Wear shoes.
She's a deep one.
I want Marina. And give me Nightcrawler. Let's just go full Excalibur.
Who are they gonna get Puck though? What little person actor could play Puck? I don't even know. It couldn't be Dinklage. He's not in enough shape.
And Dinklage has already been in an X-Men film. Oh, they Hornswoggle. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't. They'd have to really search far and wide to get a dude to play Puck, or they'll just have to be like the Hobbit and do like forced perspective and just shrink a little guy down.
You know what? You haven't represented Britain. We got the Avengers. Where's Alpha Flight? Let's give Canada some love. Let's bring in some Alpha Flight.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised. I'd like to see Sasquatch on the big screen. That'd be cool.
And you can tie it in. Let Hulk stop being brainy Hulk and, you know, let him revert back to Hulk Smash, Hulk Strongest there is, and go fight Wendigo.
I want a Wolverine Hulk movie, man. I want to do just a one-off, out-of-continuity, one-off Wolverine Hulk in Canada in the wilderness fighting it out. Hunting him down.
Here's what I'm hoping with the Hulk. I'm hoping at some point this smart Banner Hulk, something happens and Gray Hulk comes in.
I mean, it could. I mean, Hulk's actually done this in comics. He was smart Hulk in the original Secret Wars. Well, for some reason, the Beyonders battle planet made everybody their peak possible person they could be, and it made the Hulk. And this time, instead of like in Planet Hulk, he lost a little bit of strength when he gained his intelligence.
Yeah.
But in the Secret Wars, he was fully Bruce Banner intelligent with the full strength of Rage Hulk. So all the problems they had with their powers seemed to be straightened out by the battle world when they got there.
So
like even Deadpool, when they did the Deadpool Secret Wars, when Deadpool got to the battle planet, his skin was smooth and he had a big porn mustache.
I mean, people are saying that Kang might be, it might be a Beyonder Kang, and that's when we're going to get Secret Wars, and it's probably going to be a Kang who's a Beyonder.
I don't want that, though, because no. The Beyonder is supposed to represent, like, God. He's, like, out of the, he's beyond. He's the ones from beyond. That's what they don't even, they're so powerful, they can't even comprehend it.
So let's put this right here. We've got Black Knight. We don't know what they're going to do with him yet, but we know he's going to play a part at some point.
Medieval Marvel movie, I'm for. I'll go see that.
We've got Blade. We've got Blade. We know we're getting a Blade movie. We know that. They have introduced Hercules, but we have no clue.
For 3 seconds, I was so disappointed in that, too. That last Thor was a pile of shit, if you ask me.
There was some good parts to it. I think there was some good parts. I think Christian Bale did a pretty good job. If they could have gone full gore, I think it would have been better. But Christian Bale did.
I missed the tentacle. It was okay, but I mean.
I think they, like, people were saying they didn't do that because it would have looked too much like, not Corvus Glaive. God damn it. I'm freaking my brain.
Oh, yeah. I know. It is, not Ebony Maw.
Ebony Maw. That's right. Yeah. Saying he might have looked a little too much like the Ebony Maw, which I would have been fine with. But
well, the Ebony Maw looks like him in the comics, too. So what difference would that make? Maybe they're the same species.
But I mean, you know what? Give me a one-shot of just Thor and Hercules drinking. That's all I need, is them drinking and being assholes to each other, and that's all I need. That is it.
You know, it would be cool for a Punisher movie if they're going to do it, and they've already got all these MCU characters. Do that, was it a Punisher, was it War Journal? It wasn't War Journal. I can't remember. It was a limited series where it was Punisher versus the Avengers.
Oh, okay,
And the Avengers were Frank Castle's protege was a police captain woman, and she wore the Frank Castle skull and everything. She wore an outfit just like Frank Castle's, and she was going to become she was like his protege. He was teaching her to be the next Punisher, and Frank had killed somebody, and she got blamed for it. So they had this police captain woman in prison. She was going to be executed for crimes, and. The Avengers were like, yeah, okay, well, he's gone too far. We're going to bring in Frank Castle. And Captain America is like, you know, I respect Frank Castle for his military service and all this, but he can't be out here just killing people. And I think that's when Wolverine stepped up and said, I won't go after Frank Castle. He's my friend, and I don't think he's doing anything wrong.
Yeah.
And so Wolverine refused. Actually, Wolverine went to him and warned him, the Avengers are after you. And I think he even told him, I'm going to go tell him you're after him. Because I'm not gonna hunt my friend, and so he wouldn't do it, and Captain America didn't really want to do it, but they showed systematically through each of the comics Frank Castle defeated all of the Avengers one on one. He defeated Thor, he defeated Black Widow, he defeated Cap, he defeated Iron Man. He actually duped Tony Stark into coming out of the Iron Man armor and then jumped in it and took it and reprogrammed it and was flying it around. So, I mean, that would be great. To have a Frank Castle versus the Avengers. That would be the best.
And I can't wait to see what they do. I mean, now that, like, we've mentioned them, Deadpool and Wolverine. They are now officially MCU because we're getting the next, you know, the Buddy Cop film.
I'm waiting for that one.
We're getting the Buddy Cop film. My hope, you know, and they said it's not going to ruin Logan. It's because Logan is, like, way.
That's far in the future. It could even be alternate timeline for all of
them. I'm hoping... There's stuff. I hope they bring people from the MCU into Deadpool 3 just for like cameos of like this is
what's
going
to be
happen.
An MCU movie, so they've got all access to that. I think what's funny, it's hard to explain to some people that don't read comics. They like the movies. People obviously there's people like us who have read comics our whole lives, so we know these original stories and stuff. But the people that are really into the movies and really like them and stuff, it's really hard to explain to them that. Well, okay, that character died, but you don't understand. There's an infinite timeline of these characters. They can literally go in to any multiverse timeline and pluck them back out and put them back into existence. It doesn't. And nobody is truly dead in Marvel Comics.
Yeah, and sometimes you'll have two people, two of the same person from different timelines.
Wolverines.
You had old man. You had old man Logan. You got. You know, regular Wolverine who did die and then came back
was
to resurrected, life.
Resurrected. X-23. You got Wolverine's son.
You got Daken. You know, you got Sabretooth. You know, you got all of them. Which I hope Sabretooth is in this next one, and I hope it's good Sabretooth. They Sabretooth has been done dirty quite a bit. I mean, Liev Schreiber wasn't bad, but we don't talk about.
Yeah, that movie sucks. But movie. the other dude that played, I can't remember what wrestler played him in.
Tyler Mane.
Was it?
Yeah, it was Tyler Mane.
Yeah, the first guy. He had the look. He had the look of Sabretooth.
The script
but
just wasn't there.
But Sabretooth's not dumb. That's the thing. Sabretooth's a cunning, smart criminal guy.
And that's where Liev Schreiber played.
Liev Schreiber's brain in that guy's body, it would have been perfect.
Would have been great. You know, but I you know what I really want? I want a scene of Hugh Jackman Wolverine, Samuel Jackson Nick Fury. I want a scene with those two because Logan has a love-hate relationship with Fury.
Well, yeah. I mean, he's had to tangle through Logan was like Canadian Secret Service or something way back in the day. I'm surely he's tangled with Nick Fury many times.
Yeah, you know, like if like Fury like hey, the you know, I would love it if Fury's like, we don't know who's a Skrull and who isn't. We may need you to take somebody out, you know, and he gets Wolverine to do it. Like,
Or say that, and then Wolverine just stabs him right in the stomach, and you find out he's a Skrull, and you find out that's the Samuel L. Jackson Skrull.
Because Logan would know from the set.
He can smell him. Yeah, he can smell him.
That's why Wolverine is amazing.
That's how he knew Mystique was not Jean Grey or whatever.
And that's why I'm excited for Deadpool. Because even in Deadpool, you know, he goes to the X-Mansion. He's like, why are there only two of you here? Oh, I guess because we couldn't splurge to get any more mutants.
Yeah, we can't afford any more of the X-Men. I love the scene where the door and, like, you got all the X-Men are really in that room, like, looking out. And they, like, close the door real slow so that he doesn't see them in there.
I want it so bad. We got all these characters. You know,
I love those Deadpool movies, man. Those are perfect. Those are two perfect comic book movies. If anybody wants a perfect comic book movie, go watch the both Deadpools back to back.
Go watch those. Go watch those. We're going to be winding down here. Frank was a big topic. Now, there is another thing that happened this week. The cast list, I'm going to take this real quick, and maybe we'll talk about it the next episode. There's a new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movie coming out.
Yes, I've not seen. Is there a trailer out? Because I have only seen like a poster.
So there is a trailer. It is using the same animation as like Spider-Verse. So it's that janky.
Oh, okay. It's like an animated thing.
It's an animated thing. The turtles are actually like younger in this. They're actually like preteen teenagers.
Is this like the Nickelodeon series?
Yeah,
kind of like.
This is kind of like a Nickelodeon thing.
Like
Seth
Rogen's with the little girl that was April O'Neil.
Yeah, but this is different. So this is a different. Seth Rogen is producing it. It's from his production house, but they released the cast list.
No, Corey Feldman as Michelangelo. I'll be sorely disappointed.
So let me pull up this cast list real quick, and we're gonna go through this. You know what? We're gonna go through it. I don't care. We're gonna go through it. Now, of course, the three turtles, they're younger actors. They've done like some Nickelodeon stuff. Probably don't know them, you know. But the main people that in yes, April is African American in this, just like she was in the newer animated series, which of course has got everybody up in arms.
Which is the animated series that they did on Nickelodeon was more of a comedy. It was a comedy series. It was actually kind of funny. I watched it. It was pretty good.
And of course, online, of course, everybody's jumping on this thing of, well, she was this in the original comic, and this is what Eastman and Laird originally wanted for. Shut the fuck up.
There is an alternate universe Black April O'Neil in one of the old comics.
Yes. But let me go through this. So, Splinter. They have casted Splinter. And in the trailer, it looks like Splinter has an afro. I don't know. You only get like a snippet of Splinter.
I'm going to die laughing if he does.
It's Jackie Chan.
Is it really?
Jackie
Pulled
Chan
him out
is
of
Splinter.
Retirement, huh?
Yep. Jackie Chan is going
to
play.
Well, it used to be
Splinter.
Like Mako, right? Mako was the old voice on in the movies.
Yes. Okay. Well, Mako did him in the animated one.
Oh, okay.
In the animated movie. But now we have Jackie Chan. So
Mako also, for people who don't know, played Conan's wizard friend in the Conan movies.
And he was Uncle Iroh in Avatar The Last Airbender.
Oh, yeah, that too.
Very good.
In the cartoon.
Yep. Not the movie. We don't talk about that.
No, we don't.
All right. Bebop and Rocksteady are in this movie. Seth
I'm
Rogen.
I'm going to get flogged for saying this, but I thought the last Michael Bay Turtles movie was pretty damn good.
I liked it. I did enjoy it.
Bebop and Rocksteady, it was exactly, it was the Turtles. What do you want?
So Seth Rogen is playing Bebop, which makes sense. He played a warthog in the live-action Lion King. He was Pumbaa. So he has he has played a Warthog before. So he is good to play a Warthog. He has on his resume, I can play a Warthog. And it's his production house, so he gets to play Bebop. Now, Rocksteady. And if you watch the trailer, they actually look like they're wearing their 80s gear.
Camo and stuff.
Now, here's what's funny. So we were talking about the Michael Bay film, where Sheamus, WWE wrestler Sheamus, played Rocksteady in the Michael Bay movie.
Yeah.
So I think it is now written in stone. Wrestlers have to play Rocksteady. Because playing Rocksteady is... John
How are we gonna see
Cena.
Him?
We're not.
Well, well, I guess if he's doing the voice. We
just have to
see
hear him.
Him.
We don't have to see him. So John Cena is playing Rocksteady. Now we get into the fun stuff. All the mutants that are going to be in this film. So, well, first of all, let me start off with this. Baxter Stockman.
Is he going to be the fly guy?
Well, here's the thing. We have Baxter Stockman. Giancarlo Esposito is going to play Baxter Stockman in this. Perfect casting, amazing actor.
Tyler Perry did a good job. The original
Tyler Perry did a good job.
he was a good one.
Now there is a mutant in this film called Superfly.
Oh yeah,
Superfly, and he's voiced by Ice Cube.
I'll let him get a couple motherfuckers in there.
I hope so. We are going to have Genghis Frog. Is in this. Hannibal Buress is going to play Genghis Frog.
Please tell me Usagi Ojimbo's in this.
No, but Leatherhead is in the film, played by Rose Byrne. So
Leatherhead was in the Nickelodeon CGI show, which was great. If you want a good version of the Turtles, you want to see an ultimate
that
great
was a
version,
good one.
Watch the CGI version of the Turtles from Nickelodeon.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. It goes all the way up into space against the dinosaurs and all that shit.
Had Fugitoid, all of that.
It's great.
So I guess Leatherhead might be female in this. We don't know. But Leatherhead is in it, Rose Byrne. Ray Fillet is in this movie. And he is
so
voiced...
like all the weird little toys they made like later on down the toy line,
and the like the obscure characters from like the Archie comics. Post Malone is playing Ray Fillet.
Post Malone's really great, actually. He's actually a cool dude.
Yeah, Wingnut is in this. Wingnut. Natasha Dimitrov. I think that's how you say her name. I'm gonna look at that. And I'm gonna see Dimitrescu. I'm just gonna think Vampire Witch Waifu from Resident Evil Village. But she's in this. Maya Rudolph is playing a character named Cynthia Utrom. Now, if you know, the Utroms are also known as the Krang.
Yeah, so Seth Rogen doing this, so obviously this is going to be like a probably more of a family comedy Turtles.
Yeah,
version,
I think it's going to be more like for
and
kids.
If you're going to complain about a family comedy, who cares? There's been great versions of the Turtles already. If you don't like this one, go watch the Nickelodeon one because it's really good.
Paul Rudd is in this movie. Ant-Man is in this film. Can you take a wild guess who he's playing? Which mutant he's going to play?
Oh, he's a mutant. I was going to say camera guy.
No, he's not Vernon. He's not Vernon. He is a mutant.
Let me think who you haven't mentioned yet. I don't know.
Paul Rudd is playing Mondo Gecko. He is going to play Mondo Gecko.
One of the things I thought was great about the CGI series on Nickelodeon was the ice cream cat that they made.
Oh yeah.
They put the mutagen on some ice cream and a cat, and it became an ice cream cat. They had to keep it in the freezer.
You know what's great about that series? If you look at their table, they have Unicorna from the Galaxy Hole, from one of the Galaxy Heroes.
Yeah. Oh yeah, no
is
kidding.
On that. Like if you go watch Phaelus's, you know. So I will admit, most nights if I gotta fall asleep, I'm putting on Bootleg Zones. And I'm going, you know, that's like what I listen to.
Yeah, I love Bootleg Zone.
And I love the Galaxy Hole because he has a playlist of all the Galaxy Hole ones. You know, because we all love Baltard. You know. In fact, I can't look at Will Smith anymore because all I see is him as the genie from Aladdin, and he looks like Baltard from the Galaxy Warriors. But he does. He talks about I think it was like with the Galaxy Heroes. It's one of those ones, like one of the bootlegs of the bootlegs of the bootlegs. But there is a character named Unicorna, and it's the muscly unicorn head, and that was in that Turtles CGI. It was on the table. So it's like,
which tells me that those guys that make that are really in the scene. They know what's funny. They know stuff, obscure shit to throw into that show. And man, I've never seen a better, besides the comic books of the Turtles, I've never seen a better version than the Nickelodeon cartoon. It is so dead on. Mm-hmm. And how they ended it was just brilliant.
And it was
how they were all different at the end. Like one of them was a big robot and they had all mutated. And like, I think Donatello was a computer and they were all different.
Cause they had that episode, Transdimensional Turtles, I think it was, where the 80s Turtles came in, and it wasn't like the 2000. So there was one done in 2003 with the 2003 Turtles and the 80s
they
Turtles.
Yeah, they were like more like the ninjas, though. They were like they were like a mix of like big muscly characters with the Eastman Laird Turtles almost.
Yeah, but they in the 2003 when they brought the 80s Turtles in, they really treated the 80s Turtles like idiots because the 2003 Turtles were like non-union or something like that. Yeah. So they didn't get the voice actors from the 80s Turtles to play them because of union and non-union. But in the Nickelodeon one, they did. And you got to think Rob Paulsen, who voiced Donatello in that Nickelodeon CGI Turtles, voiced Raphael in the 80s Turtles. So I wonder how they could convince him to come back and play Raphael from the 80s Turtles. You know?
I don't know. I thought they did something with not that show, but didn't Corey Feldman do a different Turtles voice
I think he was Slash in that series. I think
he did
Slash.
He did another Turtle voice at some point.
He did Slash in that, and then so this is the same, the CGI one. And then they brought Robbie Rist, who voiced Michelangelo in the original live action Turtle movies. They brought him back to voice Mondo Gecko. They really did play that, hey, we know that there's so many people who love these Turtles and the different iterations of the Turtles, and they're bringing people back and voice actors back and nods. I think there was even like a nod like of April in her yellow, one-piece outfit from the 80s and all this.
Yeah, well, they've established it a few times that there's different timelines and different alternate universes of the Turtles, and they look different, and there's different casts in all of them. So it's kind of, in a way, it's kind of like DC and Marvel's multiverse. There's different multiverses with the Turtles.
There's multiple. So like, and I know this film, it's probably going to be more geared towards little kids, which is fine with me. I have, that's perfectly fine.
We should also mention that people have said it before in a million videos, but if you don't know, the Turtles were kind of a spinoff of Daredevil.
Yeah.
In that the Turtles, the mutagen that blinded Daredevil and gave him his powers is supposed to be the same mutagen that made the Turtles.
So I am, like, totally cool with them doing this, because they, just like with any property, they can make this one, it's more kid-friendly, and then they can do something more for like the adults. Shoot, they could do Last Ronin.
I am good if they just keep making what you want, because like I said, that Nickelodeon series summed it all up for me. I think that's the best version they're ever going to make, and I don't think they're going to do any better. Unless they make a cool live action or a cool new CGI movie. I actually like the TMNT CGI movie that they put out several years ago, too. I thought that was really good.
Like,
I've always loved the Turtles, man. Just about every form of them is great.
There's guilty pleasures out there. Like, we all have that thing that we like to watch, and it's a guilty pleasure, and it's just like people don't get it.
Titans Go is mine.
Yeah, that show is like universally hated. Like, you love that.
I love it. It's the funniest shit. To me, it's Always Sunny in Philadelphia with comic book characters. It's the funniest shit I ever saw. The Pocket Robin makes me die laughing every time I see it.
I don't know how many times I gotta talk to people about It's Always Sunny, because an Always Sunny quote always pops in my brain. You know?
That's coming back soon too. That's another thing you gotta
talk
back.
About. I mean, Charlie Day is voicing Luigi now. I mean, every time I hear Luigi now, I'm just going to be here and I'm going, what's your spaghetti policy, or what do now, you know? That's what I'm here. Oh, which, by the way, have you seen the newest little like snippet trailer for Mario Brothers for the movie where they're, it's a commercial. I'm going to share my screen and I'm going to pull it up just so you can see it. Yeah, I know. I got 10. All right, I'm going to share sound. share. I'm gonna pull this up here so you can see it.
Oh.
So this came out weeks ago, but this is the new Mario Brothers thing.
We're the Mario Brothers, and plumbing's a game. We're not like the others who get all the fame. When your sink is in trouble, you could call us on the double. We're faster than the others, you'll be hooked on the brothers.
Thank you, Super Mario Bros. It seems like the only thing you haven't drained is my bank account. For super service, call or text Super Mario Bros. Plumbing today at 929-55-MARIO. Or reach us on the World Wide Web at smbplumbing.com.
All right, so cool things about this. One, you heard the song, right?
Yeah.
You heard the song.
I was going to say, it's real old school. They did a lot of throwback to that.
And the voice, the lady's voice, that's the original voice of Princess Toadstool from the Super Mario Brothers Super Show.
It really reminded me of back in those days, and even like the ads for the games when they would come out on TV. They would have ads.
So here's what's funny. If you call that number, you get a voicemail from Luigi. You get Luigi's voicemail. If you text that number, you get a text from Luigi. me and the kids did it. It is the greatest thing ever. That and just hearing that voice, hearing the Princess Toadstool. I am really hoping, because I'm going to go see this movie. Okay? I am going to go see this movie. I got to see it. At the end of that movie, if that movie...
It's going to be huge. Sonic was huge. Yeah. And now this is going to blow up too.
But if the end of this movie, they don't do the Mario, if I'm not in that theater and everybody's not swing your arms from side to side... I mean,
you just got to start it then.
I'm going to start it if I have to, because, I mean, we all know, no matter who's, you know, Charles Martinet, Chris Pratt or whatever doing Mario. We all know Mario is Captain Lou Albano.
Yeah.
Captain Lou was
super
Mario.
Show.
That's a super show. When Roddy Piper and Sergeant Slaughter would show up to get help from the Mario Brothers, you can't beat it. But, you know, I can't wait for this film. I love the Sonic movies. Because you remember, I didn't know if I was going to like the Sonic movies.
Yeah, and they turned out everybody loved them.
They turned out great. So, yeah, there's so much good stuff. People need to quit bitching. But episode 2 of the reboot, this is the new, this is the new HBO Max version.
Third time's a try. From Netflix.
We moved from Netflix. We said screw Netflix. We were on Hulu for a bit, but then they bought Disney. They're owned by Disney, so now we're on HBO Max. You know, we're out doing Velma. We are bigger than Velma. In fact, that's the tagline: bigger than Velma.
I have no idea why anybody's mad at it. I've seen so little about it. I just don't care.
I don't know, but that is the show for this week. We will be back next week. What are we going to talk about? Who knows? We'll see what comes out.
That'll be news this week.
You know what we're going to talk about next week? Vince McMahon's mustache. Because apparently Vince McMahon grew a mustache. We'll get Panda on and we'll talk about a mustache.
Vince
McMahon,
maybe a little Bigfoot talk next week.
We'll do some Bigfoot talk. But you can find us everywhere. We're on Spotify, Hulu, Stitcher. I'm getting us on more places. Check us out. Drop those comments. Hit those likes on Spotify. Add us to your playlists. Every little bit helps. We're back. We're going to be getting things back on track.
If you're on Twitter, you'll be seeing a lot. I'm going to ramp up the advertising on the show this week after the new one comes out. And so you're going to bombard you. I'm going to spam your timeline. So sorry about that in advance.
And if you have pets or you want cool shit, go check out Blue Dog Handmade, right?
Sure. Yes. If you anything, we make all kinds of stuff there. So
go drop some love there. Go see what they got. They got amazing
Facebook.
Stuff. I saw the jacket or the shawl.
Yeah. Jess just made herself a sweater because she was cold.
Yeah, really, really cool. So go check that out. I will put that link in the description of this video so you can go check them out. Drop some love. So until then, next time, Chief, we are out of here.
Good night, everybody.
Nerd Rage Renegades.